everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster, and this is our annual summer movie preview. So we will spare you from the usual tomfoolery and get into information that you could use at home. I'm joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hack-a-do.
And Daryl Loomis.
Good evening.
And that is it. It's just the three of us. So we will spare you talk of, what movie did you just say, Daryl?
Dr. Jekyll and Miss Osborne.
Yeah, you don't want anything to do with that, I can tell you, listeners. And,
well, it's getting a positive review from this guy.
All right. Or my take on Revenge of the Ninja and an incredibly boring Michael Dudikoff movie called River of Death. So I don't know how you have Michael Dudikoff and cannibals and that equals boring, but they have made it boring. So, and Donald Pleasance as an ex-Nazi, you know. So
Donald Pleasance is still alive, geez Louise.
Oh, well, I don't know. This was
good on him.
This movie's from 1989. So,
you know. Oh, it's that one. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't think Dudikoff's getting a lot of work these days.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, okay, so the three of us, Mac has been kind enough to pull together a list, and I thought we'd kick it off with the biggest movie so far, Age of Ultron. And Daryl, did you see it? Have you seen that or not?
I have not seen it. I've read fairly extensively about it.
All right. So, Mac, I know you've seen it, and I have. So,
yes, I have. How,
since you are Mr. Marvel, which is that a superhero, by the way? Is Mr. Marvel superhero?
There's a couple of different Captain Marvels.
That's
there's
right.
A Miss Marvel, and there is a Marvel Man who was originally named Miracle Man. It's a whole thing.
All right.
No, he was Marvel Man first, and they changed it to Miracle Man.
Nice. Well, you will be Miracle Man. Why don't you kick us off? Like, what was your take on Ultron?
I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I'll admit that it's not a perfect movie. It has its flaws, but I think the good outweighs the bad. You know, one complaint is that, you know, there's way too much stuff for one movie. Yeah. You've got tons of characters, tons of different plot lines, stuff setting up, you know, movies that are not going to be made till 5 years from now. And so it's very busy, but at the same time, though, it's kind of a little bit like reading an Avengers comic book that way, because it's, you know, it's one part of a series, and you're, after it's done, you want to know what happens in the next one. And somebody online said that the artist George Perez was a big influence on the movie, and once I read that, I can't help but see it in the movie, because Perez has this gift of drawing tons of characters in a single image, and they're all doing their own thing and all jumping around and having it all fit together, and that's kind of the way the action scenes are in Age of Ultron, where we get the whole group working together as a team and doing stuff, and sort of like that aspect of it. So, again, not everything worked. Some of the stuff that's you need to go into spoilers for regarding the relationships of some of the characters kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but that's just a smaller thing. I'd say in the bigger picture view, I had a lot of fun with the movie.
So I'm on record as really really loving the first Avengers and loving Winter Soldier. I despise this movie.
Really?
I don't know, despise is, maybe that's wrong. Yeah, despise is too strong. I was bored to tears and disappointed in the movie. I just like... And, you know, I was really hoping for just the good times to, you know, continue to roll from the first one. But I didn't find any of the action to be particularly engaging. Like, I thought my biggest fear going in was it was just going to be the Avengers fighting a sea of CGI robots, right? And that's kind of what happened. So all the stuff at the end, I didn't feel, there was just, like, no danger, no stakes. And I think that, and also the fact that, like you said, all these seeds for all these movies, and Marvel's rolled out all the movies. So, like... When Captain America is saying, you know, I don't know if we'll get through this night. I mean, look, movie logic defies that anyway. But there's like zero credit. You know, obviously, you know, that's happening. You know, they're going to make it through the night. So I didn't think Ultron was that great a character. I felt like it was just a placeholder. Like it was kind of a filler before, you know, the stinger was Thanos and the gauntlet. To me, is like, boy, you could have like just bypassed all of Ultron. I got right to Thanos, you know?
That's true.
I don't know. It just felt like, yeah, I mean... I get it wasn't even that. I mean, Thor was a paperweight again. I mean, Captain America is who he is. Stark obviously has the Robert Downey Jr. personality. You know, I thought Hulk, like, I couldn't believe that Hulk mayhem didn't really grab me, and it didn't really grab me as much. I mean, I could point to, like, 10 awesome bits and gags and moments in Avengers, and I would be struggling to find, like, one that jumped out at me for Ultron. So, you know, I don't want to be a dink, but I was just like, it did not work for me at all. But I don't despise it. I won't say that. It did not despise it.
I've heard that James Spader's voice work as Ultron is pretty fun.
It is, right, but the character just kind of, like, didn't really make sense to me, and, I mean, nothing was super original with him, so I don't know much about Ultron Mac in the comic books, you know, but, like, I never, like, found Ultron fearsome or anything, you know, so I didn't love his design either, like, his design wasn't the best, but, I don't know, it just felt like, it felt too, like, you know, we are like it. Even when they had Falcon come back, it's like, yeah, that kind of retroactively, like you know, dampened my enthusiasm. You know, for Civil War, I guess. Like, I just love Winter Soldier that much. You know, that it just, I don't know. So I was unfortunately nonplussed, Mac. I'm sorry to admit that.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Because I get it. I see where you're coming from. Like I said, the movie does have its flaws, but I kind of. I fought my way past the flaws and found the stuff that I liked.
There you go.
But I'm not disagreeing with you.
No, I understand. Well, I'm in no position to tell someone, you know, hey, we liked Battle of Los Angeles for crying out loud. So but yeah, I just, and you know, that was all. I don't know. So I guess it just it kind of, you know, it also kind of showed. You know, you saw kind of the stress factors maybe Whedon was feeling with the second one, right? Like, you feel like he was kind of had to do, like, you know, he was pretty candid about, like, you know, they were trading off. He was forced to be putting stuff in. So it almost, it was like they were trying to hit all those check boxes. So they're building towards this greater universe. And I just fear that they're kind of building a prison for themselves with that, you know?
So. Right.
But it was definitely big and loud and crazy, so I'll give it that much. So, yeah. Now, Daryl, you have anything to add?
No.
All right. You didn't see it, so that's good. Look at that. That's not too bad. All right. So, Mac, continue. So that brings us where?
Okay. Well, so that's already been released. So instead of a summer preview, sort of a summer now view,
yeah,
I guess.
Too.
But on May 8th, we had Hot Pursuit. Reese Witherspoon plays a cop,
and
Sofia Vergara is a mob widow, and they're going a cross-country road trip. It's wacky.
Yeah, great. What else we got?
All right, May 15th.
Yes.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Director George Miller returns to the Mad Max universe that he created for more post-apocalypse car chase action.
And the reviews have been just on fire for this thing. And
yeah.
And I, like everyone says, it's like one extended chase scene with very minimal CGI. And I mean, I just, and it's R-rated. I just, and bad, and you know, and wee brain Charlize Theron with a hook for a hand. You know, another yeah. Arrested Development. I mean,
and the posters have been great. I mean, the posters
right.
are old school, awesome 80s style posters.
And it looks really weird. It doesn't look like a studio movie at all. You know, but obviously money was dumped. I mean, it's got a 99% rating on Rotten Tomatoes right now. I mean, that's insane. So I am, yeah, I am excited to see this on my birthday, no less. What a great birthday present to me!
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's not a case of all the good stuff is in the trailer because the trailer was awesome.
Right.
But the word of mouth that I've been getting is saying that it's the real deal. So.
Yeah, I man, cannot wait, and I still stand by George Miller single-handedly, and this is even counting the iconic kitchen fight scene. George Miller's responsible for crafting my all-time favorite, maybe my number two, just behind the Raiders chase sequence, but the extended Road Warrior gas trunk, you know, gas tanker chase is probably my second all-time favorite action sequence.
And he directed Happy Feet.
And he did direct Happy Feet.
And Babe and Babe 2, two of the finest children.
Oh, this is interesting for those pro wrestling fans out there. Mad Max... features Nathan Jones, a retired professional wrestler, a giant of a man from Australia, playing a character called Rictus Erectus. So that's pretty rad.
Excellent. I mean, there's a scene of like some dude he's in some kind of vehicle playing electric guitar. You know that? I mean, just go for it.
I just want to say that there are some amazing character names in this movie. We've got Rictus Erectus. We've got Zoe Kravitz, Lenny Kravitz's daughter, starring as a character called Toast the Knowing. We've got Cheeto the Fragile, the Doof Warrior, the Organic Mechanic. It goes on and on.
That's excellent. Yeah. So I expect a glowing review sometime soon after, but definitely Mad Max. Cool.
And for your counter programming on May 15th is Pitch Perfect 2. Anna Kendrick and Rebel Wilson are back for more singing and dancing fun.
That's fantastic.
That's just great.
Good on them.
That brings us to May 22nd. This is our Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
For Tomorrowland. From director Brad Bird.
I know.
This is a movie based on the Disney theme park. Loosely based.
I gotta tell you, if it wasn't Brad Bird, I'd be super skeptical about this. Like, I mean, the trailers have been pretty visually eye-popping, but nothing grabbed me. And Clooney's okay. And the whole theme park influence, eh. But Brad Bird can do no wrong in my eyes, so we'll see.
Right, yeah. That original teaser really had me intrigued, where the girl, like, touches the doohickey, and as soon as she touches it, she's outside.
Yes, right.
She lets go, and she's back inside. That was so cool and so well done. It was like, I knew right then I wanted to see the movie. It looks like it's right up my alley. And so hopefully it'll be, you know, a little bit more Pirates of the Caribbean, a little bit less Country Bears in terms of...
Nice.
Movies based on Disneyland, but yeah, and Clooney, I don't know if he really cares, he's great. But if it's a paycheck, he's not going to be great. So I'm cautious but hopeful for Tomorrowland. Also on May 22nd, we have the remake of Poltergeist.
Clark, why don't you go? Why don't you take the floor on this one?
Me?
Yes.
Okay.
You just groaned and...
Well, clearly. Let me look it up real fast. So, I get casting Sam Rockwell. That makes sense to me as the dad. I just don't see... Poltergeist, I don't think, is a great movie in the first place. I don't see what there is left to mine in that story. It's an extremely standard ghost story. And unless they do some, like, radical changes, I just don't see a point. Just to get the TV scene in there again with some CG, I mean, to get the wires and pool scene again with CG, I don't get it. It just seems like they're spending millions of dollars to do it. Ultimately,
capitalize on the name.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a name. I mean, and it's arguably one of Spielberg's worst films. And I mean, technically he didn't direct it, but also technically he did. It's not really Toby Hooper's movie. But it just doesn't make any sense to me why this property would be valuable today, after, because we've got this glut of ghost movies with The Haunting in Connecticut. Those three movies, the five Paranormal Activity movies, I mean, those are all cheapo movies getting across. That's the whole point of a ghost movie, is it's cheap because you don't have to show a monster. Why are they putting money into this thing just to get a little girl saying they're here?
Right.
Three quarters of the way through the movie, and that's your payoff. That payoff was interesting when that creepy little girl who's passed on now said it, but it was 1982. It's a way different time. It's a way different market. I don't get it.
Everything the trailer seems to be cashing in on nostalgia from the original. You know, they have the There's Here, they have the creepy clown, they have the guy cutting his face off, they got the swimming pool. It's all just remember this, remember this, remember this.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that you can remember it anytime you want on its stacked Blu-ray.
Right.
There's absolutely no good reason to feel nostalgia for this thing. If you like the movie, you own the movie. You're not going to get anything new out of this thing.
Hey, which one? Is it the second one where Craig T. Nelson vomits up a slug?
Yes, I think that's correct.
All right, just double-checking. Nice.
Also on May 22nd, we've got another horror movie, is The Vatican Tapes, which, tell me if you've heard this one before, a young girl is possessed, so the Catholic Church sends in an exorcist to take care of the problem.
That's super novel.
That is super novel. All right, what else we got? Let's keep powering through here.
All right, May 29th, and we've got San Andreas.
Oh, yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson plays a helicopter pilot, sets out to rescue his daughter during an earthquake in California.
Yeah, that's a lot of CGI. A lot of CGI. You know, a lot of CGI to dodge there.
Yeah, and I'm not sure the point. I mean, didn't the disaster craze end like 8 years ago?
I know.
But I do want to say real fast, going back to this Vatican Tapes movie.
Sure.
It's directed by Mark Neveldine, who is the director of both Crank movies.
Oh, yeah.
Which basically tells me that I want to see this movie.
Okay.
Because those movies are ridiculous. All anyway, right, moving on.
Yeah, so anything else on San Andreas?
Nah.
Okay. The
Yep. Yeah, he is. He's a big
like
dude.
Way more cut today than he was when he was a pro wrestler.
That's true.
Just that's the best I can say.
That's quality. That's quality content you've added.
I guess some people are wondering if can he pull off an action movie by himself without the rest of the Fast and Furious gang. So, but he probably can. I don't know.
I mean,
it's a disaster movie. It's not going to be like
His whole hallmark as a wrestler was his charisma. I think that I'm not a fan of his as an actor, but I'm not a huge action movie fan as it stands, so I'm not really one to talk. But I feel like he does a good job, a better job than a lot of the action stars today in the charisma department. So
I agree. I like him. I'm a fan. I like him.
Okay. Let's see. Also on May 29th is Aloha, the new film written and directed by Cameron Crowe. It's about a group of folks who find love and romance in and around a Hawaii Air Force base. Bradley Cooper and Emma Stone star.
All right.
No, thank you.
Next.
Okay. Next, June 5th we have Spy. It's a comedy, a spy caper, which Melissa McCarthy is a CIA analyst who gets her chance to go into the field for the first time. And speaking of Crank, Jason Statham co-stars along with Jude Law.
I can actually kind of support that with Paul Feig as the director. That might be pretty good.
We've kind of seen this type of story a lot in spy comedies. You know, like Get Smart, you know, the guy behind the desk goes into the field for the first time. So hopefully they can put some original spins on it.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm a big Jason Statham fan as far as modern action people go. He's number one for me, and I'm kind of curious to see him in a straight up comedy. Kind of curious to see how he works out there. So I'll see that eventually.
Okay. And speaking of haunted houses, there's actually quite a few this summer. June 5th gives us Insidious Chapter 3.
The prequel.
Yes, this is a prequel about the psychic lady character played by Lynn Shay. And is maybe going to bring back the red-faced guy from the first movie. I don't know.
I'm interested in it. Insidious 2 wasn't as good as the first one, but it did have its moments. So, I don't know. Guarded optimism.
I know I saw the second one, but I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, that's fair. It's not great. it's not deplorable as a sequel where it kind of could have been.
Yeah. And June 5th also brings us Entourage.
I've not seen a single episode of that. I would have no idea.
Jesus.
Neither have I, actually. But yeah, the cast of the hit HBO show Entourage reunites on the big screen. They're living the high life in Hollywood.
Rose the movie.
I would just like to say that we could probably spend this whole rest of this podcast just looking through the character names in Mad Max.
Oh God, it's hilarious!
So I see, like, someone's name is Five Wives. Someone's name is People Eater. Yeah, the Doof Warrior we already called. Keeper of the Seeds. The Rock Rider Chief, Corpus Colossus, Milking Mother. the accusing dead.
That character list right there.
Slit. That's a great name.
Slit.
Desperate Women, and Organic Mechanic. Is that what you said?
The Organic Mechanic. That should be our pro wrestler's name.
Man. Holy moly.
Are these real names, or is this from the community spoof of Mad Max?
Oh, man. Craziness. All right. That was a diversion. Continue on, Mac.
All right. June 12th brings us Jurassic World.
Okay, now, I am, like, this is what I'm actually looking forward to. I couldn't tell you why. I think the first Jurassic Park was great. The second one was terrible. Third one was a fun roller coaster ride. And that's it. But, man, I want to see dinosaurs. I want to see Chris Pratt running around with a raptor pack attacking people. I want to see that as well. So
I like that cast. I mean, Chris Pratt, Vincent D'Onofrio, Judy Greer, Jake Johnson. I mean, that's pretty good.
Bryce Dallas Howard, right. So, hey, I am down. I am in. Sign me up.
And while I couldn't really care less, I can say that I know when this was announced, I know a ton of people who were giddy about the idea of it. So I predict this. I don't know if it's going to be as successful or as box office successful as Age of Ultron, but I don't know that there'll be a second. If there'll be anything that comes otherwise close to this in box office. I mean, it's been, what, 15 years since Jurassic Park 3?
So it'll be interesting. Can Chris Pratt carry a movie? I mean, the dinosaurs are carrying the movie, obviously.
But, right.
I mean, can he... Like, he kind of got lost. You know, you could say he kind of got lost in the ensemble in Guardians. So, like, we're going to see if can he carry this. And if so, all those rumors of him doing Indiana Jones, would that come to fruition? Right. You know?
Yeah. I could see him as Indiana Jones for sure.
Yeah. And the other big gimmick behind this movie is that the premise is that they've actually gone ahead and opened a working amusement park with the dinosaurs. So we don't have folks stranded on an island this time. We've got the full park in operation, which is something we haven't seen in one of these sequels yet. Yeah. So I'm hoping that'll make it different. That'll make it stand out from parts 2 and 3.
Yeah. Hey, I will be. I am a defender of 3, though. I mean, I don't think it ever tried to be more than kind of a B movie, and I thought I succeeded wildly at that. Number 2, just had the gymnastic sequence, which I can't.
Gymnastics, yeah.
So bad. You can't beat Gymkata, so don't try.
And also, it's getting a nationwide release on June 12th, is Dope, which is the big winner from the Cannes Film Festival, about an inner-city high school kid navigating the world of college admissions.
Also Zoe Kravitz. It's her year.
Nice. That brings us to June 19th. We have Inside Out is the new movie from Pixar.
Oh, yeah, right.
The premise is a little hard to describe. It's a girl who's, I guess, is on a road trip with her family, but throughout the movie we go inside her brain where all of her emotions are different characters. So it's like if you ever saw Herman's Head, it's like that. But
that's exactly what it sounded like.
Herman's Head
is awesome. It's reminded me, that's the first thing I thought of was Herman's Head.
I thought I was the only person who ever watched Herman's Head.
No, I like that show. Yeardley Smith, that was where she got her start.
Yeah.
But this voice cast with Diane Lane and Kyle MacLachlan as the mom and dad, and then the inside voices, at least some of them, are Amy Poehler, Mindy Kaling, and Bill Hader, Richard Kind. I mean, Louis Black's in it. These are good people. Yeah. So,
and it's Pixar. I mean.
Yeah, Pixar does great with casting. And also, June 19th, Dave, you might be interested, this is The Transporter Refueled.
Next, move on.
Actor Ed Skrein takes over for Jason Statham as The Transporter.
Yep, no thanks.
Next.
The whole selling point of the Transformer movie, of the Transporter movies, is just...
And the last two were terrible, so we're... Can,
the last two were terrible, so this is just, this is just dumb. Okay. A lot of Russian actors in this movie. Must take place in Russia, or they're the enemy. Either way.
All right. Let's see, then June 26th is Ted 2. The three of us aren't all that interested.
No.
Yes, right.
Well, we did note that Tom Brady has a cameo, so there you go.
As Tom Brady and not Rictus Erectus.
That brings us to July 1st, which is a big July 4th weekend. And that's Terminator Genesis.
No. Now, you know what? I have been revisiting the Terminator franchise, like, mm-hmm. these last couple nights, watching some T2 and even some T3. I don't have the first one on Blu-ray, which I need to rectus that problem right now. But it is in no way related to any kind of excitement for this movie, because I'm fully invested, fully believe that it's going to flop hard and be terrible, just like Terminator Salvation was terrible, because I don't remember a thing about Terminator Salvation.
Yeah. Well, the thing about this Terminator Genesis, I've pretty much decided I'm not going to go see it because I've seen the trailer, and the trailer is the entire movie. It gives everything away. And so after watching the trailer, it's like, well, I don't need to see it now because they showed me everything they got to offer. All kinds of spoilery stuff that would have been great to see on the big screen for the first time was in the trailer. It's like, well, I don't need to see it now. But yeah, anyway, this is a sequel/reboot. Arnold Schwarzenegger is back. Emilia Clarke is the new Sarah Connor. Jai Courtney is the new Kyle Reese. Just watch the trailer and you've seen the whole movie. Also for the big July 4th weekend is Magic Mike XXL.
All right, never saw the first one.
Channing Tatum returns with his gang of male strippers. Because they're not just strippers. They have lives and they have feelings.
Yeah. They're the hot cops.
They are the hot cops. Boy, would you go see a movie called Hot Cops?
I would totally go see a movie called Hot Cops.
Based on the rest of development, Hot Cops. Yes.
Speaking of, it's a whole night of wrestling cameos. Wrestler Kevin Nash comes into this theoretically as a 7'1" stripper named Tarzan.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, that's pretty sweet.
You need to take that character out of this movie and put him in Mad Max.
Totally should. It would work better. And this Kevin Nash stripper is like probably 55 years old at this point. So I'm not really seeing it.
Then that brings us to July 10th, which is Minions, the prequel to Despicable Me.
I'm someone who just did not like Despicable Me much at all. So I don't know, I caught it on cable
a while back.
I got nothing for it.
Yeah, it just kind of left me with a shrug when I saw it. But the little Minion guys, they're the big merchandising empire. So let's not
sell out and keep going forward. We're not going to sell out.
Okay, they're getting their own movie.
It's a cheap toy, those
Minions.
That's
right.
Also on July 10th is a movie called The Gallows. I have been able to find very little information about this. The plot description is, a tragic accident shut down a high school play. 20 years later, the cast reunites to put on the show. It's a horror movie. The trailer is just like 2 minutes of a woman sitting in this dark room crying. Uh-huh. And there's a close-up on her neck, and her neck is all gross. And that's it. That's all I got for The Gallows.
Yeah, there's nothing here. The guy's name is Travis Clough, who directed it. He's only done one other movie, and it's called Fool's Gold, which kind of looks like a horror movie, but I can't tell. That's a very strange. It's a very strange premise. So we'll just see.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Maybe it'll be a surprise hit. Next up is July 17th, big weekend here. From Marvel Studios, we have Ant-Man.
An Edgar Wright-less Ant-Man.
Formerly Edgar Wright's Ant-Man.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to this, of course, because it's Marvel, and I'm a big Marvel guy. Really wondering like how they're going to pull it off. It's the story of Scott Lang, who gets the Ant-Man suit from inventor Henry Pym. It causes him to shrink down to the size of an ant, is his power, and he has adventures. It's being described as a superhero heist movie, so there's going to be a heist angle to it.
Very good. All right.
I'm not sensing a lot of enthusiasm there.
I kind of peaked with Mad Max, to be honest. Like, honestly, we're in a part of the summer movie landscape that I've got really no clue what's coming out, like, at all.
Let's see.
Surprise me. Give me something to get excited about, Max. Skip whole weeks if you have to.
Okay, well, there's a lot of stuff that I've left out. You know, there's a documentary about growing corn.
Yeah, that's not going to do it. That's not going to make it happen.
There's a Swedish movie about a pigeon. I didn't leave that in. I'm looking. There's still a couple of big blockbusters on the list, so maybe I'll spread it. So July 17th, Trainwreck is a new comedy from Judd Apatow. Amy Schumer plays a woman who lives her life without any responsibility, only for her to fall in love with a straight-laced, responsible guy.
I probably won't see this in the theater, but I will almost certainly see it. Amy Schumer's really funny, and she wrote this thing. Don't really care about Judd Apatow that much at this point, but Amy Schumer's pretty much killing it right now, so I have all confidence in the world that at the very least, her performance and the writing are going to be strong.
Very good.
July 17th brings us An Irrational Man, which is this year's Woody Allen movie. Joaquin Phoenix plays an alcoholic college professor who rediscovers his zest for life after befriending one of his young, pretty students.
Go figure.
And another for July 17th, big weekend, is Mr. Holmes. Ian McKellen plays an elderly Sherlock Holmes who comes out of retirement to solve one last case.
Very good.
I'm a big Holmesian, so I'll definitely see that. And that takes us to July 24th.
All right.
Pixels is a new comedy from Adam Sandler. We got a sci-fi element with some word.
This isn't helping me, Mac. You're not helping me. I need more.
Don't worry, there's good stuff.
Get out of July. Let's get into August. Let's rock it towards Labor Day.
80s video games come to life. Adam Sandler and Peter Dinklage fight them.
Look, he's a New Hampshire guy, but I mean, I can't remember the last Adam Sandler movie I watched him sort of like.
Gilmore would be for me.
There you go.
Paper Towns, based on the best-selling book, young adult series about a girl who goes missing, guy's in love with her, and his friends go on a road trip to find her. It's actually a really good book. I highly recommend the book.
All right, now
Pan. This is the dark, gritty origin story for Peter Pan.
Right.
As Pan and teenage Hook team up to fight Blackbeard, played by Hugh Jackman.
Excellent.
now this sounds stupid, but it's directed by Joe Wright, who made Hannah and Anna Karenina. That has me curious, because Joe Wright is a total crazy person, which means this movie is going to be totally off the walls crazy.
Hannah was really weird.
Yeah, it's
I never
so
saw Anna Karenina, but Hannah was really weird.
Yeah, and you should see Anna Karenina. It's the same level of weird.
Good.
And Southpaw on July 24th. Jake Gyllenhaal beefs up as a boxer.
Yeah.
Who's addicted to the thrills of the ring at the cost of his family.
All right.
Let's see. July 29th brings us the sequel/reboot of Vacation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ed Helms plays Rusty Griswold, all grown up now, and taking his family on a cross-country trip to Wally World. And Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo have cameos.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. The trailer did not have me
Stitches?
World of Vacation.
Yeah.
Okay, July 31st. Dave, you might be interested
July
in this 31st. One.
July 31st. We're not out of July yet? Oh, no. All right.
No, this is good. This is good. It's Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
That is what I am looking forward to, I will say. That is the one I find... As Looney Tunes as Tom Cruise is, the guy I think makes good movies, and he gives it 100%. So
he does.
It looks like he's hanging on the side of a cargo jet. So, yeah, so thank you.
As it takes off.
Yeah. Thank you, Mac. This is this would be right in the top three movies I'm really looking forward to in the summer. So
the premise here is that the villains have their own version of the IMF team. So Cruise's team is taking on... A rival team of IMF agents.
He's riding on a cargo. Take it.
Yeah. Jeremy Renner, Ving Rhames, and Simon Pegg are all back as well.
And July 31st. You said him already. So, I'm in.
July 31st also brings us Selfless. It's a sci-fi thriller in which Ben Kingsley has his mind transferred into a younger body played by Ryan Reynolds. Only someone else is after... Ryan Reynolds' body for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's a new sci-fi property. It's not a remake or sequel or something.
Yeah, which is cool. It's the director's marginal with The Cell in 2000, The Fall in 06, Immortals.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's just not a very good group.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Mirror, Mirror as well, if you are into Julia Roberts's.
Huh. Julia Roberts, great.
Snow White movies. But, yeah, it's just not... It doesn't inspire... it's an original property, and I think that's fantastic, but it just doesn't inspire confidence.
Interesting. By the way, this is one of two mind-swapping movies starring Ryan Reynolds this year, because later this year he's starring in Criminal, where about a crook who gets implanted with a CIA agent's mind. So... But that's later this year.
All right, time to power through August here. All right.
We'll skip the bronze. It's a gymnastics comedy. And then we'll go to August 7th for Fantastic Four.
I will let you take the floor on this,
Mark. So it's a reboot of one of Marvel's most staples of superheroes. This is not Marvel Studios, so it's not in the Avengers series. It's produced by, I think, Fox. These are characters that I love dearly. The director said in an interview that this isn't based on the comics so much as that they're just taking the basic idea and the concept and telling their own story, doing their own thing.
Well, they got the characters and the Negative Zone and they got Dr. Doom, right? They got all that stuff.
Yeah, but they've got the characters' names and their basic relationships, but it's... It's like the Bourne movies, you know. There's a guy named Bourne, he's a spy, but it's not really what's in the books. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of the same thing. But, you know, it's knowing that it's a brand new... I'm going to go in and I'm going to say, okay, it's a brand new story, these are brand new characters, so I'm just going to go in it with that mindset and just not have any expectations and see what it is.
Okay. That's good.
And my dream of the ultimate Fantastic Four movie with big Jack Kirby action will have to wait for another day. August 7th also gives us Ricky and the Flash, in which, not based on the Flash from the TV series, but Meryl Streep plays a rock star.
You got to stop Meryl Streep movies. Let's go. Come on.
How much you want to bet next year's Oscars she's going to get up on stage and actually sing one of these songs?
I do not like the Oscars. I do not like them. I do not enjoy them.
So probably no interest in Mastermind. Yep. Zach Galifianakis is the armored truck driver who pulls off a heist.
We are in the doldrums of summer now, my friend.
Okay. August 14th, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., remake of the 1960s Cold War era TV series, more spy stuff. They're doing it as a period piece, so it's set in the 60s, in the height of the Cold War. And the casting, though, Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer play the two spies.
I'm curious as to why they would bother calling something from The Man from U.N.C.L.E., given that even our generation barely remembers.
Right. Why not just call it spy fun or something?
Yeah, I mean, what's at a certain point? Why not just make it? If there's the people who enjoyed The Man from U.N.C.L.E. when it aired are old now. And they aren't the market that is being looked after. So why bother? It's just another example of just taking an old property and having, you know, hopefully there's some creativity here. Guy Ritchie, something of a selling point.
Right.
Still, I guess. But I don't see it. Don't see the point. I mean, I would see the point if it was called, yeah, Spy Fun or something like that. But once you put The Man from U.N.C.L.E. in front of it, it gives me expectations, and I don't really want them.
Would you go see a movie called Spy Fun?
Okay, yeah, probably.
Okay, so back to me. See, August 14th, Straight Outta Compton, music biopic about the groundbreaking hip-hop group N.W.A. Yeah, Underdogs, a CGI animated feature about foosball.
What in the world?
Apparently the little foosball men on the table, they come to life like it's Toy Story, you know? this was actually, it's an Argentinian film made in 2013.
Excellent.
The Weinsteins have bought it and dubbed it into English. Now they're putting it in theaters. August 21st, Sinister 2.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in that.
Yes. Are you? Feral.
The original Sinister, while not a perfect movie, had this interesting premise, for those who haven't seen it, where Ethan Hawke had found this box of video, or of film, in his newly bought apartment, and each reel shows a different family murder in a different way, and where the whole premise of Sinister wasn't necessarily novel or great, those bits were chilling as hell.
Wow.
And I don't know what they're going to do for the sequel. I believe it's the same cat directing it. It's not, actually. No, it is. The reason I know this guy, he's an Irish director named Chirin Foy, and he directed a movie from 2012 called Citadel that is a really interesting father-son ghost movie. Sort of horror, sort of thriller. And I think there's a lot of potential for Sinister 2. I certainly will be on board for it.
All right.
I was really hoping this would open the same weekend as Insidious 3, so people would get them confused and not know which one was which. We got like a month in between them. August 21st also gives us Sleeping with Other People, a raunchy R-rated comedy starring Jason Sudeikis and Allison Brie from Community.
Okay.
So if that's a hit, we might be seeing Allison Brie and having a huge film career. And then August 28th brings summer, comes to a close. I wish I could say with a bang, but not so much. We have Regression. Ethan Hawke plays a man who can't remember the crime he's accused of committing. And Hitman Agent 47.
Right.
The sequel to the movie based on the video game. Richard Friend takes over as the titular assassin, Agent 47, and he's helping a woman find her long-lost father.
People are really asking for that. And those Hitman games didn't even sell that awesome, I don't think. You know?
So. Well, they have their cult fan base, I guess.
Yes. Enough to carry a movie? We'll see.
Yeah, so we begin with the Avengers, we end with Agent 47.
All right. Boy. Okay, real quick, what's the top two movies you're looking forward to the most from this point on? Go, Daryl. Out of that list.
Insidious 3, Sinister 2.
All right.
Mad Max,
of course. Mac?
Well, I guess... Are we not counting Avengers? Because I saw it already.
Yeah, looking forward.
Okay, looking forward. I'm going to say Tomorrowland is my number one.
All right.
Followed by Mad Max.
Excellent. And I'd go with Mad Max and Jurassic World. With Mission Impossible right there on the heels. So...
Cool.
All right, well, we'll see. I mean, part of me thinks that the biggest movie of the summer already dropped with Ultron, but who knows? We'll see. We'll see if Mad Max has the draw, which I know it won't. So, well. I don't care about those people. So, all right, and here's to next year, where we hopefully have a new Raid movie to look forward to, perhaps. That'd be
sweet. Yeah.
So, all right. So that is our summer movie preview, / review, / prognostication. So thanks, Mac and Daryl, for chilling, and we will catch you on the flip side. And Mac, take us away.
Rictus erectus.